Well, today we're continuing our month of prayer. And today we're going to be doing, each week we're going to be doing something a little bit different, but today we're going to be connecting prayer with mission. Now, maybe you're new here or you've been here for a while and you're like, wait, what's the mission of our church again? The mission of Vertical Church is to glorify God through the fulfillment of the Great Commission to go and take the gospel message to people. To glorify God through the fulfillment of the Great Commission in the spirit of the Great Commandment, which is to love one another by making disciples. So today we're going to look at how to connect the mission to prayer. If you have a Bible, why don't you turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 35, four short verses, but loaded with power. The title of the message is Three Prayers in harvest season. And my hope for you, my prayer for you, as I was in this room praying for you yesterday and preparing in this room, is that God will grip you with one or two or three of these prayers, that He will stir you up and draw you into a greater sense of His purpose for your life. Let's begin reading Matthew chapter 9. And verse 35, we get a little bit of a window into what Jesus is doing. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now here's the thing. We love the mission that God has called us to, but there are obstacles in the way of accomplishing the mission that God has given the church. Did you notice, I don't know if you realize this as we're reading through the text, Jesus pulls out four obstacles or problems that we face in pursuing the mission that God has for us. Look quickly if you're looking at these verses. First, notice that Jesus mentions or is addressing what I'll call unlimited need. He's going from synagogue to synagogue teaching, and yet there's so many cities and so many places and so many people afflicted and sick and in all kinds of difficult situations, and there's only one Jesus. And he's going from place, and he can't even stay there for very long because there's another place and another place. I'll call this unlimited need. Then he mentions, second of all, as he looks around at the people, he notices that they're harassed and helpless. Now, really, this is an indictment of the spiritual leaders of the day. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the priests had done a horrible job of reaching those who were hurting. This would be a lack of shepherding. So not only unlimited need, but lack of shepherding. Then as he goes through the text, he comes to verse 37. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If you know a farmer, you know that at certain pivotal seasons in the harvest, there's a short window where you got to bring the stuff in or it will rot in the fields. And if you think about it this way, Jesus is bringing up the problem of untouched gospel opportunities. The harvest is ready, but there's no one to get it, which leads us to problem number four, which is a lack of workers. And I can say this as a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to know this, but as a pastor, you see so many things. You see more than the average believer because you see families, you see hurt, you see brokenness, but we all do. And sometimes as we look at problems and we look at hurdles, it can begin to feel overwhelming. God, how are we going to address? There's so many needs. For every one I touch, there's three more new needs. What are we to do about that? Now, you know what we try to do. Here's our typical responses. Some of you who are German, like me, what do we do when there's lots of problems? We work harder. Right? Put your head down. Work harder. Work more hours. Come on, Jesus. Work faster. Maybe you could use some of that, you know, I don't know, ability to walk over lakes and rivers. You can get to places faster. We can get more. Maybe you could do two services on Saturday. Someone said, better to burn out than to rust out. As I've gotten older, I've started to ask the question, is there a third option perhaps? or we collapse overwhelmed, seeing so much need and just want to quit. Or some of us who are so committed but then begin to look around and begin to pressure or guilt other people into going and serving or even guilting ourselves and feeling about it. But there's one more I got to reach, and it's this feeling that somehow it depends on us, which is really the biggest problem. Now, there's two things that Jesus does in this text that we're looking at that are so different from us. And that's why we're here today, to learn from him. How does he want us to do ministry? Notice first that Jesus' motivation is different than us. Look at verse 36. With Jesus seeing and engaging so much need, it says that he saw the crowds, but what does he do? It says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Here's something that's different about Jesus. Jesus is moved by people, not problems, toward compassion. You know, if you're moved, if you're compelled by problems, if it's what problems that gets you going, there's so many things. Some of you are fixers here, and all you can see when you see a problem is fixing the problem. But here's the problem we get into. We stop seeing people, we just see problems. And then we begin to see people as problems. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus saw people and he was moved to compassion. I actually want to stop here for a moment, because we can begin to think of Jesus and compassion as about the people out there. You ever ask the question, what does Jesus see when he sees me? When Jesus sees you, what does he think? What begins to stir up in his heart, even in heaven? What is stirring up in Jesus as he sees you? Now think about this. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you're in an airport or you're, you know, at a theme park, and you ever done people watching? You're bored, you're sitting there, and you start to watch people, and there's some very interesting people in our world. And as you begin to watch them, and you're thinking, well, I wonder if they think this, and some people literally wear their lives on themselves, or the person they're standing with, and you can begin to anticipate what their needs might be, maybe even gospel needs. But think about Jesus. When Jesus is looking at the crowds, he doesn't just see the outer needs, the obvious needs. He can see all the way down into the heart. He sees their hearts. He sees their emotional struggles. He sees the relational challenges that have nothing to do with people in that particular area. He sees their fears, their anxieties. But the same is true of how he sees us. And when he sees us, he doesn't see us as problem people. He sees us as loved people. The interesting thing about Christianity, if you think about the Greek, the Hellenistic world, the Greek world, if there was one kind of central emotion, that kind of defined emotion, if people in the Greek world were feeling emotion intensely, the feeling that most Greeks would be pointing to would be anger. Anger. It's not a whole lot different than America, quite honestly. But here's the thing about Christianity that's different. We are changed by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if there's one defining emotion for Christians, it is compassion. The one thing when we get shook up that ought to happen is an overflow of compassion, that when we see people of all kinds, there is a heart for them, to love them, to draw them toward the gospel truth, to meet their needs. Compassion. Here's the first of three prayers that I'm going to ask you to be praying. Heavenly Father, help me to see people with a heart full of compassion like Jesus. Or if we were to pray it a little differently, God, give me a soft spot for hard people and people in hard places. Now, Jesus is not just a person that looks at people with compassion and do nothing. Jesus is someone who gets into the nitty-gritty and solving real people issues. But how does he do it? Now look back at the text. This is the fourth verse. He says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, rush to the point of need and throw yourself in. No, it's not what he says. He says in verse 38, he says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Now, again, I said there were two things that Jesus does differently. First, Jesus' motivation is different than ours. He's motivated by people and compassion. But second of all, Jesus' solution is different. Jesus told the disciples to pray that God would send laborers into his harvest. Now, pause for a minute. Sometimes the reason why we rush into things too fast is because we honestly take too much ownership for the harvest. Now, as a church, I love that we take ownership of the mission that God has given us. But God is the God of the harvest. Jesus says it right here in the text. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, the one who owns the harvest, the one who is responsible for the harvest, that he, the one responsible for the harvest, will all go also and find his workers for the harvest. So basically, when it comes to workers serving in God's kingdom, that's God's HR problem, not our problem. But do we see it that way? Now think about this. If there's a second prayer for us to be praying, it's this. Heavenly Father, please send workers to reach and care for lost, burdened souls in your harvest here. Now, obviously, the harvest matters in Uganda and in Indonesia and in China. But God has planted us as missionaries in this city, in this region. God, send your workers to this location. And maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm still not quite convinced. Why is it again that we pray? Why don't we just roll? Why don't we just get into work? Well, here's what will happen if you go to jump into work first and maybe then pray. You eventually will hit the wall called compassion fatigue. And you will give and you will give and you will spend and you will spend, but eventually you will come to the end of yourself and you will come to a place where if you've had this happen, I've had this happen a few times, you come to a place where you're like, God, I can't see one more need, or I'm just going to collapse, or I can't see another thing. I don't have any compassion left in me. I'm empty. Maybe some of you are there today and you just spent yourself and praise God for that. But what God wants to do today is to restore your soul and shift your strategy just a little bit so that he can renew your spirit and fill you with a fresh compassion led by the Spirit of God. Here's the other wall you can run into if you jump too quickly into work, and that is resource limitations. If you remember back to the story of the little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gives it to the disciples, and they're like, hey, Jesus, here's what we have, and here's this massive crowd that's hungry, and but what could you possibly do with so little to feed so many? Here's the problem when we run into action too quickly. We begin to measure ministry initiatives by our capacity instead of God's capacity. Now, here's the reality. God wants us to make the measure of his initiatives to be based on what he is calling his church to do. And sometimes it's over there instead of over here. And sometimes it's meant to be like this instead of like this. God knows. God directs. Here's the reality. If you become consumed with rolling first and praying later, you will be filled with compassion fatigue and resource limitations. It will drive you crazy, or it will drive you to your knees. And I pray it will be the latter. Now, sometimes prayer seems too easy. You mean, just pray first? That's like, really? I remember reading the story of one man who was sharing the story of his 85-year-old grandfather who was rushed to the hospital with a possible concussion. If you've been in those situations, you know they come and ask you some questions, and the doctor asked his grandfather a series of questions. He says, do you know where you are? And his grandfather looked up and responded, Rex Hospital. And the doctor continued. He said, do you know what city you're in? The grandfather looked up. He said, Raleigh. The doctor continued, he said, "Do you know who I am?" The grandfather looked up and he said, "Dr. Hamilton." And the doctor was starting to feel good, I think, at this point, but the grandfather turned to the nurse and he said, "Boy, I hope he stops asking me questions." And she looked back and she said, "Well, why?" "Because all those answers were on his badge." You know, sometimes the obvious answers are actually right in front of us, but we don't take them. Now, the call today is a call to pull back a bit and say, God, you need to send workers. God, you need to work in the harvest that belongs to you. And before we finish here, I want to give us one more prayer. A third prayer that is a bit more personal and costly. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision of the glory of God, and yet God wants some things done. He wants a message sent to the people of Israel. And in that moment, he says, God says, "Who will go for us? Who will go deliver the message?" And Isaiah in that moment says, "Lord, Lord, send me, send me." You know, when we're motivated by Christ-like compassion, when we're compelled, as we begin to pray for God to do what only God can do, we naturally begin to develop a heart for what God is calling us into, and it leads us to a place where we begin to say, "Lord, Lord, pick me, please. Pick me." You ever remember on the grade school playground, and you know, we're going to pick teams for kickball, and you know, there's that one kid who we all really know probably wasn't that good, but really wanted to play. And every time the people are getting picked on both sides, pick me, please, pick me. I can kick it. Really, I can kick it. Pick me. Now, listen. We are that kid in the kingdom of God. God is looking for people that say, "Pick me. Pick me. Put me in the game. Put me in the game." Here's the third prayer, and it's a costly prayer. Heavenly Father, I offer myself. Send me and use me. I guess really the question is, am I willing to be the answer to my own prayer? Not always. But many times, God will allow us to be the answer to the second prayer. Now, I'm not trying here to guilt anyone into praying this prayer so that you'll feel the weight of it. No. I want you to be inspired by what Jesus is doing. In fact, really what I desire for all of our church is to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I love seeing in our church, a number of different families who have been answering the call to foster care and the grace groups in their lives, getting around them in this. God has a special heart for orphans and foster kids. And seeing different families responding and saying, "God, put me in the game. I want to serve. I want to love. I want to go." Responding again to the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're asking, where might God be calling me or sending me? What am I even supposed to be listening for the Holy Spirit to call me to? Well, again, the mission is to always to make disciples. We pray that God will raise up missionary workers in three areas. Let me give you quickly these three areas. You might even want to write these down, because really, every follower, faithful follower of Jesus, certainly over their lifetime following the Lord, should be involved in these three. And these give us categories to hear what God is doing. The first one is, God raises up missionary workers in personal ministry. Ephesians 4 says that really, pastors are not the primary ministers. We are the equippers so that you all, who are the true ministers, can go out into the neighborhoods and world and work world. Personal ministry. Think about your personal relationships, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family. And reaching them with the gospel message. But then there's a second one. You're probably saying, well, where does the church come into this? We need to pray that God raises up missionary workers in church ministry. We're about making disciples here. We're not just about making converts. It's not just, well, I'm going to get my personal relationships to church and make personal converts. No, Jesus wants disciples in the church. And so that's why we have a children's ministry who's teaching God's word. We have preachers, we have worship ministry, we have production, we have grace groups, we have greeters, all around the concept of making disciples and connections that lead to discipleship in Jesus Christ. Personal ministry, church ministry, but also God raises up missionary workers in community ministry. Now, what is community ministry? We're going to be talking about this in just a minute. That is sharing the love of Jesus in word and deed. We have our own relationships, those that we are our own relational network. We have our church network, but sometimes, and God is calling us always to be going to a third area, and that is community ministry. God wants us to go into our community and reach out with the love of Jesus Christ, the good news of the message of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause here and just pray for a moment, and then we're going to share a little bit about what God is doing and what we can be praying for along these lines in our own church. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that challenges us to see ministry different. And God, we here, I pray this week, would be praying through these three prayers. Will we even pray them right now? God, we ask together that you would stir up our hearts with a deep compassion for the people that you have put around us. But God, also we pray, second of all, that you would send workers into your harvest. God, it is the work that you are doing. You are building a kingdom. And God, we are available, but we ask that you would send workers, that you would enable the ministries that you want done and empower them with your workers. And then God, thirdly, we pray. We pray a prayer of surrender. Just tell the Lord this, if that's genuinely on your heart. Lord, send me. Send me to serve. Send me, God. Use me. Pick me, God. Pick me, God. That is the cry of our heart, that you would use each of us. Lord, ministry isn't for professionals or for longtime Christians. It's for everyone. And God, if you would be so gracious, stir us up to send us out and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to transition in our message here to a little time of Q&A. You can see Kristen Martin is up here, and Kristen is our director of outreach. I'm going to ask as we go into this part of the kind of message part of the service, on the back, you're going to see a little area to write down some notes, and we're going to have some prayer items that people can write down and talk about. Obviously, you know our four pillars, but our four W's are worship Christ, walk with Christ, work for Christ, and then witness for Christ. And so we're going to take a few minutes. We thought it'd be good to take a few minutes for you to hear about some of the things that God is doing in our church, and then we're going to lead that toward a time of prayer. Kristen, I'm just going to move this up here just a tad bit. Why don't you start out by just telling us where we could even locate some of the ministry partnerships that we're going to be talking about. Where would I find that if I was curious?
Yeah, so quickly, I mean, Luke already talked about this, but we're a church that is passionate about inwardly building disciples, but also outwardly reaching people in our community with the love of Christ. And so that includes inviting people into our church, but it also involves going outside of the physical walls of our building. And so the way that we've been able to successfully do that is by partnering with local organizations and ministries that are already serving our local community, and specifically ministering to the orphan and the widow and the foreigner, like God commands throughout Scripture. So we have several partnerships that we're currently involved with. We're going to talk about those this morning, but if you want more information about who those organizations are and what they do, the easiest way to find that information is on our Vertical Church website. If you go under Connections, there's an option you can select that says Get Involved in Outreach, and that will bring up all of those partnerships where you can read about them, and you can even click for more information.
Love that. So, specifically, now with a chance to kind of flesh that out, if I'm a regular attender or new or member, I'd like to know more. Tell us a little bit about kind of some of the primary partnerships we have here at Vertical Church that we can get involved in.
Yeah, so we have three primary partnerships that we have been involved with over this last year, so I'll talk about those. The first is Alicia's Closet. Alicia's Closet, if you've been coming here for any amount of time, you've probably heard us talk about them. We're really thankful to partner with them. But they are an organization that seeks to meet the needs of the more than 2,000 children in Franklin County who are currently in foster care or in kinship placements. And so they do that in a variety of ways. They have a physical foster care closet that families can go to, and they can shop for clothing and essentials when children are placed in their care. They also offer some other services like support groups and respite events. So we've partnered with them in a few different ways over the past year, but we always have the opportunity to go to the closet and help with sorting clothing, putting out new donations. There's a really high need for this, and so they really can't keep things on the shelf most of the time, so they have a high need for help at their closet. We also collected some high-need donation items as part of our Easter service. So if you were here for Easter, you probably saw our table out in the lobby with that was just kind of piled with things that you all brought, and that was a great blessing to them. And then probably the biggest way that we partnered with them over this past year is by opening up our building for them to be able to run their Help for the Holidays event from our Vertical Church building. So this is a Christmas event that they do where they provide Christmas gifts to children who are in foster care and kinship placements. And this year they provided 722 gifts, which is incredible and just speaks to the need for that ministry. And many of those gifts were either donated or wrapped by all of you. So that was a really fun event for us to be involved in. The second partnership that we have here at Vertical Church is International Friendships, or IFI. So this is a ministry that several people in our church have been involved in for a number of years, but it's an organization that really seeks to provide friendship and hospitality to the many international students living right here in Columbus, Ohio. And so they do that by partnering with churches and partnering with universities and partnering with individuals. And one of the reasons that we love IFI is because it gives us an opportunity to impact our local community as these students are living right here in Columbus. But it also gives us an opportunity to be part of international missions as many of these students will return to their home countries knowing Christ and be able to be a light and minister to people in their nation, which is a really cool opportunity for us. But over the past year, our church has continued to provide space for one of their Friday night Bible discussion groups to meet here, and I know that several of our grace groups have provided a meal for that Friday night Bible discussion group, which was a blessing for them. We also volunteered at their welcome picnic last August, which is one of the biggest events they have every year, where they welcome new and returning international students. So we had volunteers that served in the kitchen, we had volunteers that served with setting up, and then we even took our student ministry to help with tearing down and cleaning up after the event. And they always receive rave reviews because that's like the least favorite part of anyone who volunteers at an all-day event, tearing things down. And then we have several members of our church who've really connected and taken a step further into IFI by volunteering to engage with the students individually through airport pickups, helping them get set up with housing when they first get here, helping them find furniture for their apartment, opening their homes for them to be able to come in and share a meal and go to events together, and really providing friendship to students who are far away from their families and their friends. And then our third partnership is still a somewhat new partnership, but that's The Covering. And you've probably heard us talk about The Covering as well, but The Covering is a ministry that provides both a residential and a transitional living program for women who are seeking freedom from addiction and other life-controlling challenges. And so we were blessed this year to have the women from The Covering join us for a few of our different women's ministry events, and specifically a few of them came to our women's retreat in March, which was really fun to have them there with us and to worship with them. We've also had some of the women in our church get connected in a deeper way by going out to what they call the Big House and preparing a meal with the women there and spending time with them, participating in their Saturday morning chapel that they have, and even with their prison ministry that they run.
That's a lot. That's three. That's really exciting what God has been doing. But actually, there's a couple other partnerships that our church has been able to do. Not quite as big of partnerships, but other things that God is doing. And sometimes it's great to hear about that. And actually, I want to thank the Lord for that in a minute. But tell us a little bit about those four other ministries.
Yeah, so we have four other ministries that have partnered with us by using our space, which has been really exciting because we've prayed for a building for such a long time. And it's great to be able to use our building in that way. So the first is LifeWise Academy. LifeWise Academy is a religious education program that provides Bible education to public school students as part of their normal school day. So our building specifically is used for a class from Greensview Elementary School in Upper Arlington. And the way it works is the students are bused over from school. They participate in their Bible class here at the church, and then they're bused back to continue with the rest of their school day.
I just wanted to share, I heard some things yesterday about what God is doing. This last year, the first year where this was a pilot in UA in the elementary schools, there were 90 kids that took part in this special hour, and God is working in that. Here's a couple other facts I found out. Only 5% of the households in UA go to church. Now, we're talking basically about the entire south of our church is a community that has tremendous gospel opportunities, and we're getting to kind of step into that as kids are impacted. And even families are like, yeah, I'd like my kid to find out more about Christianity and the gospel, whatever that is. And we're able to see God doing great things. In fact, this year it's exciting. Not only are they going to continue that, we're also going to be going to the middle schools, Jones and our favorite middle school, Hastings Middle School, where we met for about 9 years. So that's incredible. God is working. Tell us a little bit more.
So another organization that we've partnered with is Cornerstone of Hope. Cornerstone of Hope is a ministry that is directed towards providing support, education, and hope for those that are going through grief using Christian values of compassion and service. And so last year, we were again able to allow them to use our space to host their Camp Memory, which is a day camp for children and teenagers who are in a season of dealing with a loss. And we're really excited because that camp is actually happening again and will be in our building this coming week. So that's a great use of our space as well. And then our third organization that kind of partners with us through our building is CREW. CREW is a college ministry at The Ohio State University, and we've partnered with them in different ways for a number of years, but we've been excited to allow them to continue to use our building for their Thursday night meetings, which you see a picture of there, as well as some of their overnights and some different trainings that they have done. And then our last partnership is with The Sanctuary. So The Sanctuary is an assisted living center here in Columbus, and our friend Kay Howard is the activities director there. And so we really believe in loving and praying for older adults, especially those who may not have a lot of family or friends nearby. And this has been a really great opportunity, specifically for grace groups, to come into their building and lead a Sunday devotional. And my grace group has done it a few times, and it's always a lot of fun to meet with them and hear about their lives and sing some songs, and they love all of the children that we bring. So that's been a really great opportunity as well.
Baby Davis getting involved in some ministry there. I'm going to pause this just for a minute. You know, what God is doing, God is doing through His Spirit. And let's just take a minute to thank the Lord for what He's done over this last year. Father, none of this could have happened apart from Your Spirit working in different ways. Lord, drawing our church family and helping us to begin to see the needs that Jesus is opening our eyes up to. Lord, I pray that we would have the same eyes of Jesus, seeing with compassion. And I thank You for what You've done over this year, drawing the hearts of us, our church family, to serve. God, I also thank You for this building and how You've allowed us to use it and the lives that have been impacted in this physical space. Father, we're just grateful. We're grateful for those in this room, Lord, who have given of their time and given of their lives to advance Your kingdom. We're just so grateful that You allow us to be used as Your Spirit works. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to ask you before we end our time here just to take us through what God is going to be doing in the couple months that we're hoping that God is leading our church toward, and how, as we're praying for God to work in us and in our church, how we could connect in serving. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have some great opportunities coming up that I'm really excited about. I realize I've said the word excited no less than 20 times that I've been up here, but it is exciting, so yeah. I hope you feel excited as well. So for Alicia's Closet, we have two upcoming events. The first is going to be on July 15th. They will actually be hosting a respite event here at our church, which is awesome. So their respite event, I mentioned this earlier, but it's an opportunity for foster parents or kinship caregivers to sign up the children in their care to come and have a fun morning at the church, and it gives their caregivers a little bit of a break and some respite. And so they're hoping that they can offer this to up to 60 children, and they need a lot of volunteers for that. So the event is going to be from 9 to 1, and you're actually able to sign up. You can do it. There are two shifts, so there's 9 to 11 or 11 to 1, or you're obviously welcome to sign up for that entire block of time. But this is a really great way to love the children that they serve, because they're going to provide the activities, they're going to provide the snacks, all of those things. All the ask is for us as volunteers is to come in and engage with the kids and care about them, and they need a lot of volunteers, and they also need help with things like check-in and checking out when kids are dropped off and picked up. So I'd encourage you, if you're available that day, to sign up, and I think that will be great. And then we will also be having a group sorting event at their closet on August 5th. That'll also be in the morning. And so if you have served at the Closet before, that will be a great way. If you haven't seen it, it's really cool. So I would encourage you, if you haven't gone, to sign up just so you can see it. It'll also be an opportunity to learn a little bit more about what they do and the heart behind what they do. And then you'll be able to serve alongside your church family as we do some sorting and organizing and things like that. There will be another event coming in September. They're planning to do kind of a large shopping day where they can let lots and lots of families come in and shop at the same time. And we'll have the date for that once it's available.
Can you explain that shopping concept? Because I think of shopping and going and buying stuff, but here's families in the foster care community. What is that like?
Yeah, so often what I have learned, which is another great reason to partner with them, is that families can have children placed with them kind of last minute, and a lot of families take a wide variety of ages, and so you might have a child that you get a call and you get asked to take a child into your care at midnight, and you don't have anything for a baby because you've only had toddlers previously. So the Closet has clothing and diapers and essential items, and it allows families to come in and kind of fill up a bag. They also will deliver like packages last minute that have like essentials in them. The other really cool thing they do that I haven't mentioned is they also care for those who have aged out of the foster care system. So young adults who maybe need clothing for a job interview, or maybe they need something for an apartment they're hoping to get, or maybe they're currently living in a shelter and they need some supplies or resources for that. So they allow those individuals to come in as well. So I say shopping, there's no price attached to it.
Yep.
But I think it's great to provide like some normalcy of when, if I was an 18-year-old, I would want to have a say over what I wear. And so it's nice for them to kind of be able to come in and look at things and feel like they are shopping and they're getting to kind of pick out what they're going to wear to that job interview.
And this is also a big opportunity to help with what otherwise would become homelessness or things like that, is helping students to or kids to transition into adulthood. I love the heart behind that. What a great thing. Well, tell us about a couple other opportunities too.
Yeah, so we also have some opportunities coming up with IFI. So I mentioned this previously, but one of the biggest events they have all year is their welcome picnic. So they expect to host hundreds of students at this welcome picnic. And it's like a kickoff for the year. It's returning students as well as students that are new to the states that come to this. And there are games and there's food, and it's a really great event. But because it's so large, they need a lot of volunteers. And this is a great opportunity if you're interested in IFI, but you kind of want to know more about what it looks like, because you can serve and you can observe how excited the students are to be there. You can observe staff engaging with the students. And the reason that it's great for us to sign up to volunteer with this event is that it allows us to do a lot of the work on the behind the scenes and a lot of the support work, so that staff and volunteers really have the time to engage students well, rather than those staff and volunteers needing to like be running between the kitchen and the table. We can do that for them, which then allows them to engage with the students. And so I think we will plan to probably take our student ministry again this year to help with teardown, but they need a variety of shifts and different types of assistance during that event. So if you're free, I would encourage you to do that. And then similarly, they'll be having a welcome party, and that will actually be at OSU at their union on August 22nd. So that's also a really large event, and I found out this week that it's like one of Ohio State's biggest events of the year, which is pretty cool. And so that'll be on August 22nd. They need volunteers for both of those. And then I would also say, I mentioned before, but there is a lot of potential. If this is something that you feel like God is putting on your heart, I really want to love international students, and I want to know more about what that looks like. Dale and Sharon Thompson are now our church coordinators here at Vertical Church, so they would be great to talk to. There are some ways for you to sign up and do some training and get more involved if you're interested in doing some of those things like airport pickups and being a conversation partner with students and things like that. So there's more information on that if you're interested. And then thirdly, the sanctuary. So as I mentioned before, Kay Howard is the activities coordinator at the sanctuary, and they are always looking for Sunday afternoon devotionals. And so my group has volunteered with this a few times. It's really low pressure. You can do just like a short reading from scripture. They love to sing. Our group is not the best musically, I would say. No offense to anyone in that group, but you know, we just sang a couple songs. They had a really great time. And so that's something that is always available if you're looking for a way for your grace group to do something together or your family to do something together. That's a great opportunity. And then lastly, the covering. So I mentioned this is still a somewhat new ministry. There are some opportunities to get involved with the covering if you're interested. I think we're still kind of solidifying what it looks like for our church as a whole to partner with them. But again, if this is something that you feel like God is putting on your heart, I really want to engage with women who I know are going through addiction. There are ways for you to partner with them, and you can ask for more information. I would love to connect you with Lindsay Henderson, who's at the covering, and talk to you more about what it looks like to partner with them.
Well, great. If I'm curious, I'm hearing all of this, and I'm like, well, I would like to try out one or two of those events, and we're going to go to prayer in a minute. As we begin to pray, we get into this week, and God's Spirit is working. How would I actually sign up for that? I'm kind of not asking, but
so
yes,
glad that you asked. So you can sign up through our Church Center app. So if you open up the app in the bottom right hand corner, there's a button that says more with like a dot, dot, dot symbol under it. If you click on that, it'll take you to another page. And at the bottom of that page is outreach opportunities. And once you select outreach opportunities, it has the specific events that I've already listed this morning, as well as the sanctuary and the covering. And so you can indicate what you're interested in volunteering with in that way.
And people can just ask questions. They can click on any of these. You'll get back to them, get them connected. So appreciate all your efforts, Kristen, over this last year, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do. Well, this time I'm going to transition us to do exactly what we heard in God's Word. Now we've heard some opportunities, and we're going to take these to prayer. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to, in a second here, back at the beginning of the service, Claire had us each connect with people that are kind of near you. I hope you learned a couple names. We're a very friendly church. But I'm going to ask, we're going to put up a couple screens. They're going to be up for about 2 minutes each. And I'm going to ask you to get with a couple people if you feel comfortable. If you don't, just stay right in your seat. You can pray, just you and the Lord. But if you feel comfortable, get with three or four other people and pray about what's on the screen. And again, it's going to be changing every 2 minutes or so. Let's do exactly what Jesus said, which is to pray that God would bring the laborers to do the work in his harvest. All right? So, quickly, don't take too much time. Get in a group. We're going to have the worship team praying behind us. Let's start by praying over this screen, Matthew 9:38. All right? Quickly, get up. Get with a couple people. Let's begin to go before the Lord in prayer.